just because I ask a friend about her. Just because I spoke her name somewhere. Just because I rang her number by mistake today. She thinks I still care. Step right up, come on in. If you'd like to take the grand tour of a lonely house that once was home, sweet home. I have nothing here to sell you, just some things that I will tell you. Some things I know will chill you to the bone. I've been living a new way of life that I love so. But I can see the clouds are gathering, and the storm will wreck our home. For last night he held you tightly, and you didn't even show. This is true, for I've been watching
you
from the window up above. He said, I'll love you till I die. She told him, you'll forget in time. As the years went slowly by, she still preyed upon his mind.
April 26, 2013.
Kept.
A date that will be remembered in country music forever. Welcome, everyone. I'm Big Al Weekly with MusicChartsMagazine.com. All of us at Music Charts Magazine, like you, were saddened at the passing of George Jones. We've put together this special tribute to one of the greatest country music singers in country music. I spoke with George Riddle, a friend, a band member, a harmony singer. He was with George Jones in his early career. Other than being a legend, George Jones was just a common man whose love for music and people made him one of the legends. Listen in as George Riddle and I talk about the man and the legend, George Jones, here at MusicChartsMagazine.com. George Riddle, thank you so much for taking the time to visit with us. How long did you work with George Jones?
I was with him close to 5 years.
How did you, a guy from Indiana, get hooked up with a guy from Texas? It was a very interesting story. You're pretty confident and a pretty bold guy. How did you get the job singing tenor with George?
Well, I just got out of the Army. I'd been stationed in Hawaii. Got out of the Army. And back in those days in Nashville, they had what they call the DJ convention. You're familiar with that.
Yeah.
That evolved into what they call now fanfare or whatever they call it now. Anyway, it was at that time it was a DJ convention where all of the country music DJs from around the nation would converge on Nashville and mingle with the artist. And there was... all the record companies would throw parties in the hotels, mainly the Andrew Jackson Hotel and the Hermitage Hotel, downtown Nashville. And it was just kind of open house. And I was walking down the hallway of the Hermitage Hotel, and I heard this singing going on. And the door was open, so I just walked in. And there were several people standing around the bed, and George was laying in the bed with his guitar in one hand and his bottle in the other, and singing to the people.
Uh-huh.
And And I stood there. I said, my goodness, George Jones here. I got to listen to this. And he sang a few songs. That was like on a Friday. And he said, I'm leaving on tour Monday. I need a harmony singer. I said, hey, I can sing harmony. He said, you can. He asked me my name and said, all right, I'm gonna start this song, and you just join me on the chorus, and we'll see. So, and I even forget what the song was now. But anyway, he took off on one. I knew all of his songs at that time. And I started singing harmony. He said, okay, you can go. And I thought, well, he's drinking. He doesn't mean it. He'll forget all about me. And I went on back to my my hotel. And he started calling, come on back over here, let's sing some more.
Oh, really?
So that went on Friday and then Saturday, and sure enough, Monday morning, we loaded up. It was George and Little Jimmy Dickens, Rex Reinhardt, who was the promoter of the tour that time, and myself, and there's one other, I think it was a boy by the name of Butch Orr that was a drummer. So that's how it was. And our first stop was Hobbs, New Mexico. I mean, they broke me in good as our first stop.
What year was that?
1960. Mm-hmm.
That's quite the ride to Hobbs, New Mexico on probably mostly two-lane road, I would assume.
Yeah, and in a car. We were in a car. You know, no buses then. And anyway, that's how I met George Jones and got the job.
You had just gotten out of the Army, so you had kind of been rolling around. Had you known that you would be able to sing with him like that, a high tenor voice? I mean, you've got a super tenor voice, and it matches him perfectly. Did you have any idea that was what's going to be your life, or did you just do that by accident, into him?
Just quite by accident. I just knew that I could sing harmony with anybody, and just worked out that I ran into him. And after the tour, we went back to Texas. He took me home to Texas with him, and I lived with him and his wife Shirley at the time. But right after that tour, he wasn't sure what he was going to, you know, do as far as forming a band or anything. So I went on back to Nashville and hooked up with Don Gibson for a short time. Wasn't with Don long, and I lived with him and his wife, Polly, at the time in Knoxville. And I was with Don probably 6 months, and it just didn't work out. Don was a nice guy, but he was all messed up at the time. So anyway, I contacted George. He said, come on to work with me. And so and then I stayed with him until I left him, you know. Yeah.
Well, you know, you just mentioned something interesting, and I think it's still true to this day, as a lot of people don't realize that you stayed with Don Gibson, you stayed with George Jones. That seemed to be just a natural thing among musicians. I know it is in bluegrass, because I stayed with some people, you know, not lived with them, but stayed.
Uh-huh.
But maybe it's a little bit different in country music now. I don't know. Is it go down to somebody's house and just stay with them for 6 months because you're a member of the band? Or
I would think so. I think it's all different now, But George took me in just like part of the family, as did Don and his wife Polly at the time. And I enjoyed being with him. But Don Gibson, he didn't like to hardly leave the house when he was in off tour.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go to the post office, I'd go to the grocery store, I'd do this, I'd do that, and he even had a note on his front door, said, do not ring this doorbell unless you have been asked to. So he was quite the private guy.
Oh, that's cute. You know, I think all country bluegrass, even gospel entertainers, I think they're all unique in their own personal lives, and that's what makes them so special. How was he, like, when you were recording, we'll use She Thinks I Still Care, that he released that in 1962. What was he like in the studio? Can you kind of describe a George Jones setting? Was there anything special that he did or anybody else did to make it more intimate and more comfortable for him to be able to sing the song the way he wanted it? Or was he just a natural at singing, period?
He was just a natural, and to give you a good example, he was always pretty much well-prepared when he wasn't drinking, you know. Mm-hmm. And usually when he went in to record, he was straight. To give you a good example, he did a whole album one day, a whole album, mind you, in 3 hours. Of course, he knew all the songs real well. It was a tribute to Hank Williams. He knew the songs real fine, and of course, all the musicians were familiar with them. So a whole album in 3 hours, it takes these new people 3 years to do an album, you know?
Yeah. Wow. And they did it the old style, which you wouldn't possibly have overdubs or, you know, you'd just go in the studio and y'all be there together. And that's
the band was there.
I want to try to get people.
The band was there.
Yeah. I want to try to get people to realize it's not like it was. You don't go in and you got all these tapes here and you got all these instruments.
No.
It's live music.
That's it. The band was there. The singer was there. You give a quick rundown. And on the, and of course, with that number system, you know, the band's got it right away and you go to work.
You know, I never had the opportunity to meet George Jones. I sure would have liked to just to have felt his presence. But what was he like around? Was he just a regular guy?
Oh, yeah. He was just an old country boy, and he had no other interests much other than, you know, than singing. I mean, that you've often heard show business is my life. Well, in George's case, it was, because he had no other interest. He didn't like to go fishing. He didn't like to go hunting. He just liked to grab a guitar and pick and sing. And a lot of times after a show, we would go back to the hotel and invite some people over, and he'd get that guitar out and sing to them, you know, for quite a while.
George, what do you think his favorite song? Did he have a favorite song that he absolutely loved more than any of the rest of them? And did he have one that he hated?
A favorite song? I really never heard him talk about a favorite. I know that he didn't like He Stopped Loving Her Today when he recorded that. Billy Sherrill had to talk him into doing it. And George said nobody would buy that morbid so-and-so. That's where I cleaned it up. But as for a favorite, I never did hear him say, Al, if he had a particular favorite.
He went under another name, Thumper Jones.
Thumper Jones.
Yeah, do you know a little bit about that, why he did that?
It was on Starday Records, and that's when rock and roll came in. And everybody was, all the country acts were trying to find something to get a little recognition, sell some records, and buck rock and roll. And he decided to, I think he only had one release under Thumper Jones. And Buck Owens did the same thing. He went as some other crazy name. I forget now what it was. But that was just trying to buck rock and roll and get something going.
So tell me a little bit about George Riddle's songs. Name two or three songs that George Jones recorded that you were blessed to have that voice on there.
Well, one album on United Artists called The Best of George Jones, he did five of my songs. I'll Never Let Go of You, A Real Close Friend of Mine, Lonesome Old Town, She's Lonesome Again. I forget the other one. I named four. But he did five on that one album. And She's Lonesome Again, this was a real favorite of mine, the songs that I've written. Ray Charles also did that for me.
Really? I bet that was amazing. Did you get a chance to watch Ray Charles record that song?
No, but shortly after he did it, I got to meet him through George. He introduced me to Ray, and Ray said, "Oh, yeah, Georgie Riddle said, I like that She's Lonesome Again. Write me another one like that."
You know, I had the interviewed his daughter, Sheila Ray Charles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just a few months back. We spent about an hour and a half together, and she told me about a lot about him and meeting her dad and different things. So it's kind of ironic that how it all forms a circle.
Yeah.
Well, how did George Jones pick out a song? Did he look at it and try to sing it and then he figured he didn't like it? Or did he just know when he seen a song? Or did they just kind of like throw one at him and say, "Hey, George, you're gonna sing this"?
No, back then it was easy to get to an artist. You can't even get past their secretary this day and age. But back then, if a songwriter had a song that he thought would fit George, he would approach George. And George was very approachable, you know, and they'd just sit down and sing him the song or send him a tape. And George was pretty good at picking hit songs. Him and Webb Pierce were great in that area. They could pick hit songs. One song that George almost did not do, when I lived in Vidor, Texas with George, we went to Beaumont quite often, just 5 miles away. Bill Hall and Cowboy Jack Clement had a publishing company in Beaumont. Mm-hmm. So I was getting ready for my recording session with United Artists, and George and I went over to their publishing company, and they pitched me some songs, and one of them was A Girl I Used to Know.
Uh-huh.
That was my song. George didn't like it. I said, "I think I like that." And they gave me a tape, and I took it back to the house and played it quite often, and the more George heard it, the better he liked it. He said, "Georgie," he always called me Georgie, everybody did back then, said, "Won't you let me do that song?" Said, I think I like it after all." Well, he was the boss. What could I say?
Yeah.
But I had it first. The Girl I Used to Know.
The Girl I Used to Know. I think I know exactly the song that you're talking about here. I'll have to bring that up.
Well, Porter and Dolly had it out, and they call it Just Someone I Used to Know.
Yeah. Okay.
And, there have been a lot of people recorded it since then, but I had it first. I just didn't get a chance to record it.
As we kind of move away from George Jones and get into some country music history, and give me just a quick thought and a summary. Oh, wait a minute. There is somebody I wanted to mention right quick. Mel Street.
Mm-hmm.
I had thought that I seen a comment by George Jones, you know, whether that comment was true or not. It was about how he, even him, was a fan of Mel Street. Do you think Mel Street was probably one of the closest things to a George Jones back in the 70s, or late 60s, early 70s?
Yeah, I would think so, and you're right. George really thought a lot of Mel Street, and when Mel died, financially, he must have been in trouble, because I know when George had his Possum Holler Club in Nashville, he had a benefit to raise money to help put Mel away, and I remember that very well. And yeah, he was very, very fond of Mel Street, liked his singing real well.
Well, you know, that's another part of George Jones that I think is really necessary to cover, not only just the country boy that became the voice of country music, but didn't he pay for Johnny Paycheck's funeral too, George?
I'm not sure of that, but he probably did. And another good example of that, we were We were left Vidor one day, and I mean it was pouring down. And we passed this service station, and there was this old boy out pumping gas. We knew him. His name was Roy Hood. And he was out there in that pouring rain pumping gas, didn't have a coat, you know. So we go about a mile up the highway, and we stop at this little store. George goes in, buys a raincoat, turns around, takes it back. Here, Roy, put this on. You need it. Things like that, you know. That really hit me. That's one side of George that a lot of people didn't know. I've seen him also hand money out to guys who are a little bit down on their luck, you know. I've seen him do that. Just, here, take this. You need a few bucks. Here, you know.
Well, to summarize, in your own thoughts, the time that you spent with George Jones, just give me an overall view of what George Riddle, and I know you're well-respected in country music because you worked with all these greats. Give me just a quick idea of George Jones, the whole picture. I felt so bad when he passed. It's kind of eerie that we're losing all these country legends and all these great people, and you know they're 1,000 miles away in Nashville, but yet you know they're not there anymore.
The time I spent with George Jones were some of the best years of my life. He taught me a lot, and on every show that we played, George never failed to make sure that I got billing on the show, and he didn't have to do that. I was working for the man. But whether it be Carnegie Hall, the Hollywood Bowl, wherever we played, he made sure that I got billed on the show along with the other people. And he really took care of me. He did. And, of course, like I say, he let me live with him and his wife, their inviter, and his two boys. And it was just a great time for me. It really was. And the only reason I left George was I was making some records on United Artists, and I had his blessing to get out and do something on my own, you understand.
George Riddle, thank you so much for being a part of our George Jones tribute here on MusicChartsMagazine.com. I couldn't think of any better song to finish up with than the song that is called Who's Gonna Fill Their Shoes. MusicChartsMagazine.com is a registered trademark to Music Charts Magazine Corporation, all rights reserved. For MusicChartsMagazine.com in Nashville, Tennessee, I'm Big Al Weekly.
You know, this old world is full of singers, but just a few are chosen to tear your heart out when they sing. Imagine life without them. All your radio heroes, like the outlaw that walks through Jesse's dreams. No, there'll never be another red-headed stranger, a man in black and Folsom prison blue. The Okie from Muskogee, or hello, darling. Lord, I wonder who's gonna fill their shoes.
Who's gonna fill their shoes? Who's gonna stand that tall?
Who's gonna play the Opry and the Wabash Cannonball? Who's gonna give their heart and soul to get to me and you? Lord, I wonder
who's gonna fill their shoes.
God bless the boys from Memphis, blue suede shoes and Elvis. Much too soon he left this world in tears. They tore up the 50s. Old Jerry Lee and Charlie
and Gold Cat Gold still echoes through the years. You know the heart of country music still beats in Luke the Drifter. You can tell it when he sang I Saw the Light. Old Marty, Hank and Lefty, why I can feel them right here with me on this silver eagle rolling through the night.
Who's gonna fill their shoes? Who's gonna stand that tall?
Who's gonna play the opera and the
Wabash Cannonball?
Who's gonna give their heart and soul to get to me and you? Lord, I wonder
who's gonna fill their shoes.
Yes, I wonder who's gonna fill their shoes.